Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Okay, so before we hop in to chat with Jill, and this I think is her third time as an interviewee on the podcast, which is awesome. She's someone that we both respect as an authority figure in the health space. I want to talk about Vivo barefoot shoes because I know Jill wears them, she has her kids wear them, and she believes in the concepts that we believe when it comes to barefoot living. Vivos are flat and thin, they are wide, and they are flexible. They allow our feet to do what they're built and what they're meant to do, and they will naturally gain strength and mobility just by wearing a barefoot profile shoe like Vivo barefoot shoes. And if you haven't gotten your hands on a pair yet, they have them for everything, whether you just want them for casual wear. They have slippers for around the house. They've got great options to work out in. They have options for hiking or even days at the beach. They have water shoe options. And one of my favorites is their dress pairs, which I wear to every single wedding, and I'm the envy of the dance floor because everyone knows that I don't have my feet crammed in uncomfortable, tight dress shoes that are going to give me blisters. So if you want to grab a pair of Vivos for any occasion, go down to the link in the show notes. Make sure you use our code TOB. You get a special 15% off that is only available to our podcast listeners, and Vivo even has a 100-day risk-free trial. So if you feel like you got the wrong size or if you want a different pair, you can always send them back with no issues and get a different size or a different pair. Make sure you go to the link in the show notes, use code TOB to get your 15% off and get your feet in some barefoot shoes. All right, let's get to the interview.
We are so excited to welcome back Jill Miller for the third time on our podcast, who is a fascia expert, the co-founder of TuneUp Fitness. And you know, if you know us at all, we love their products. It's the only ones that we use in terms of balls and rolling. And Jill is just such an expert, so filled with a lot of knowledge. She's written two books, one called The Role Model and recently called Body by Breath, which we actually did a previous episode not too long ago. Episode 287 that you can listen to all about Body by Breath. Now, this one, we're actually talking about a program that Jill and I collaborated on, which she's only collaborated with some really incredible educators. So I'm so honored to do a program with her, someone that I've admired so much in this industry, who I've learned a ton from. And now we are coming together to introduce you to Roll and to Hit. Now, this episode, we're going to talk about that a little bit, but we're also going to talk about the body benefits, how she's even used it after recovering from hip replacement surgery, which you wouldn't think HIT and hip replacement really go hand in hand, but they do. And we're going to talk about why. We're going to talk about menopause reasons. We're going to talk about myofascial release, what that really does for the body, and how that helps with strengthening the body. You wouldn't also think that myofascial release helps with that, but it does. So we're going to talk about so many benefits. Please stay tuned for this entire episode. You're going to learn a ton, and you're going to also learn about our new Roll Into Hit, which we are so excited about. And you can always check that link right away and get into it in the link in the show notes. Jill, welcome back to our podcast. Oh my goodness, I can't believe
third
we get
time
to interview you again.
Am I one of the first trifecta podcast people, guests?
I think, who's the other? Andrew Dietelbach, shirtless dude, has been a three-time appearer overall. So
I think so. Just you and Andrew.
You're in rarefied company.
So I'm the first female, and he's the first male. And interesting that both of us are hypermobile. I wonder what other what other crossovers we can find. I just adore him and Katie. They're just amazing people, amazing programmers.
Well, we want to talk to you about, obviously, there's so much knowledge that you have about the body, and something that I admire about you so much. But I think really being able to relate to other people is something that you do so well, as because you've been through so much experience within your body. Like you said, you're hypermobile, so you've gone through a lot, from training intensity with yoga and putting yourself in extreme positions, to now using myofascial release tools, to having and understanding what that really does within the body and how that impacts your body. And then now, you know, you've had your hip surgery, your hip replacement, how you've healed from that and really regained power and strength after a hip replacement, I think is really incredible. And then into all of your books, you know, now you just wrote Body by Breath. I mean, again, the knowledge that you have is incredible. And I'm just excited to kind of explore through each of those layers.
Awesome. Which one do we start with? I mean, I guess we Jen and I created a program called Rolling to Hit.
Yes.
Adapting Intensity for Everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we see that there is a gigantic hole in the marketplace for people that are afraid of HIIT.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people that are afraid of HIIT might have been injured in HIIT, or they might be post-surgical people, you know, or living with degeneration and a little bit hesitant to do high impact things because it creates lingering pain or they're afraid they might hurt themselves. So we wanted to create a considered and thoughtful program that prepares their tissues, that trains the tissues. That's the Jen part. I'm the prepare. Although you are prepare also, because in the Rolling to Hit program, you also give people assessment parameters so that they can guide themselves to follow with one of the three of us.
Right. We have three different people, you know, which means three different intensities as to what you can really identify with for your individual body. And I think that's what scares people the most about doing high intensity work is, and I mean, I remember, you know, I think it was a webinar I was doing with Stacey, and she said something about sprint training and where everyone's mind goes is to running right away.
Hill sprints.
And by the way, she's talking about Dr. Stacey Sims.
Yes, Dr. Stacey. And she was kind of identifying that sprinting doesn't have to mean that I'm just going out for a hard run, or I'm going out and I'm jumping, or I'm doing something that typically in our minds, what we put in our mind about HIIT training and high intensity work is this really scary idea that my joints can't handle it, so I can't do it, right? And we automatically kind of back away from that kind of idea. And there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of things that I think are just not true about what people have made up about HIIT training within the body because they identify it in one way. And so I think that's something that I want to talk about with you today too.
Right. And I would say that I have this bias in my head also. I call it the jumpy jump work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still say that. I still say it, and I shouldn't, because it's not always about accelerating your body off the floor or off a thing, and including jumping and landing. Mm-hmm. So a sprint could be that you are pushing a sled across the floor.
Yeah. It could be battle ropes. It could be kettlebell swings.
Yes, or that you're walking fast in shallow water.
Yep.
Which we don't have pools in Rolling to Hit. Let's just be clear.
No,
we do not have a pool.
No pools or water involved. And I think that's the important thing here, is breaking down a lot of those misconceptions and breaking down the myth that once you feel like you can't do a movement, or once you have pain during a certain movement, your body has the ability to train back into being able to do that. Being able to do that with velocity in a successful way and in a way in which you have less pain. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that is challenging for people. Once I start to have knee pain going up and down stairs, and it's been happening for 6 months or a year or 5 years, we just accept this is always going to be the case. And now I'm going to start to avoid stairs, which really you should go the other way with it. How can I train in a way that will get me back to being able to do stairs more comfortably, with more confidence, and with more strength.
Right. And it may not involve the knee, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think of, you know, when somebody sprains their ankle, they should definitely not go idle.
Yeah.
The work then is tons of upper body stuff, whatever they can do, swish, swish in the water, or row, row on a boat, whatever they can do to get the adaptive response of the intense cardiovascular training that has incredible cascade of effects throughout the body, even into the ankle that needs to be kept silent. So those are the types of things that I hope that we can communicate in this program. And by having the different levels displayed, you know, sometimes I'm doing stuff in a chair when you and Adam are doing more plyometric or mid-level plyometric type of work. Mm-hmm. There are so many different ways. And especially if you're grading your exposure to pressure, to velocity, then it will be very intense for you because you haven't pushed yourself in that way to achieve those higher levels of pressure and quickness and push.
Well, and I think something that I've also never seen in a program like this is the preparatory work. Sure, sometimes I see, you know, a warm up or a mobility thing or whatever, but the preparatory work in terms of tissue preparation, what does that mean? Like, what is your goal when you're trying to get us to use the tools to really prepare the tissues? What does that language mean?
So there are six different HIIT sequences that Jen orchestrated. And so what I did is I created six pre-recovery rollouts and then six recovery rollouts. And the pre-recovery is so important for a number of body features, a number of neurological features, a number of mobility features to show up for you in the actual, you know, HIIT stuff. And so what that means is when you roll, and this is all evidence-based stuff, folks, so I'm gonna try to say it as magazine as possible, but when you roll, it improves your body's ability to sense itself, and that's called proprioception. Mm. And more easily said, that means it improves your coordination. So once you start to stimulate yourself with a tool, and we use the soft, pliable role model balls, which are very tissue-friendly, they're very pressure-friendly. Once you start to stimulate yourself, the sensory bits of your nervous system get excited by the touch. They get excited by the different strokes of the ball on your body. And so if you're, let's use the glutes for an example, because everybody likes to talk about sleepy glutes. If you feel like I don't have strong glutes, I have difficulty getting up and down, you know, from chairs or sitting back in chairs, or I have a difficult time getting my leg behind me when I walk. What does that mean? Like when you're walking, a lot of people just, they use their quads and their legs never really go behind them in terms of their walking pattern. And so their glutes might be undertrained or undertoned or understrong. So by rolling the glutes with, and there's actually, I think we do this in a couple of different segments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have one, I think I call it put your rear end gear.
Yeah.
And it's very simple to put your rear end gear. So you stimulate the soft tissues with the therapy balls, then the brain starts to say, oh, there's my bottom. I know where my bottom is. But the cool thing about it is, yes, it starts to say, I know where my bottom is. But once the sensory has been stimulated, then the actual muscle contractions are more precise and they are stronger. So one of the things that some of the research has proven is that you get better torque, which is you get better muscle force production after rolling. And who wouldn't benefit better from that? I mean, mm-hmm. Anybody will benefit from that. Just a little bit of rolling improves your force production and improves your body sense, so you're better coordinated within the context. And that's the thing about HIIT. HIIT is rapid. Even in the lower intensity that I display, we're still moving more quickly than normal. And so mm-hmm. the better you can have a muscle to brain and brain to muscle collaboration, the less likely you will be to make a mistake or a misstep in the actions that Jen's asking you to do. So that's one like incredible feature of rolling. It also does improve your joint range of motion. That locally, it improves the joint range of motion. And so that means the muscles that are associated with that joint are going to have a better ability to fully lengthen and fully contract. And so what does that mean? That means that night when you get your good sleep, because you're also doing recovery, you're going to have a better adaptation, and that's going to build the strength, the overall strength around the joint. And we tackle every joint in your body mm-hmm. and we roll every joint in your body. So by the time you're mapping your way through, you know, the roll into HIIT multiple times, you really will see muscle development throughout your body. And it's this sandwich of roll, HIIT, roll again. Are the rollouts the same before and after? No, because the rollouts after are designed to promote the relaxation response and hasten recovery. And so what research has shown us with rolling after an output is that it decreases muscle soreness. Another way of saying that is delayed onset muscle soreness. You know, that miserable ache that you feel 24 to 48, sometimes 72 hours after a really good workout. The rolling helps to reduce that, the time of the delayed onset and the intensity of the delayed onset. So that keeps you motivated to doing more workout because you feel better in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And that, well, yeah, there's more things, but we'll get to them.
Well, and that's just like the beautiful thing about rolling, especially rolling with intention and rolling with some direction. Because I think so many people love to grab a soft tissue tool when they walk into the gym, whether that be a foam roller or
your
favorite, a lacrosse ball, or and I'm being facetious because Jill is not a fan of the lacrosse balls. And maybe
just mini bowling balls. Just call them what they are. They're a mini bowling ball.
They have the
same hardness as a bowling ball. I'm not kidding you guys.
Jabbing into your tissues.
That measures this.
But a lot of the things that you listed off right there are things that people historically start to lose or become deficient in as we age. I mean, Jen and I have both worked in hospitals, and what do people struggle with? They struggle getting full range of motion at their ankles, knees, hips, shoulders, name the joint.
Almost every joint.
You know, we start to lose range of motion throughout those joints. We start to lose the ability to generate power in our joints, like you said, to get up to sitting to standing, and we start to lose that coordination and proprioception. So everything you listed off can be improved by doing an intentional rolling session for 5 to 8 minutes right before you work out. Why would you say it's important to then pair that with some sort of movement like we do when we move into Jen's HIIT workout?
Well, because you want to actually take advantage of that new range of motion. You want to take advantage of that neural communication that I described before. You want to take advantage of this new potential for optimal position and optimal alignment in your body so that your joints are in a better place. You could just go to sleep, but you then wouldn't have the chance to grow healthy new muscle in better alignment. So what Jen's programming does, so once we, I guess to use a, like, I can't stand to use this analogy, but I'm going to. So let's say the rolling irons out the sheets of your body so that they're draping on you more appropriately. Then Jen trains them so that you are stronger in that more optimal alignment, more centrated alignment throughout your body, so that you don't end up over time going back into the shape of the joint positions that you were in prior to beginning a program. So we're creating an adaptation response that over time, you might not need that much rolling in general, because you're not going to be in as much pain, or you're using your body more efficiently, more of the time, all of the time, and aren't going to have nagging or lingering pains and injuries because you're over time improving your movement, improving your strength. And strength is one of the most protective things for pain in general at joints. So typically when we have a lot of pain, there's usually some muscle weakness in the area. And so ideally, we all get more, you know, robust from a program like this. And we become better detectives of our own pain and suffering and know that we can do something about that. And that's very empowering.
100%. And I think, you know, where some people might get a little, well, why then do a HIIT program if I want to improve strength? Right? Just because you're doing HIIT doesn't mean that you're not improving strength. Just because you're not doing a typical bodybuilding, you know, increasing your load doesn't mean you're not putting load with the power and explosiveness that we're getting throughout the program and the direct cueing. Like, I cue like crazy so that you actually understand what you're feeling and how to feel it. But I want to talk about you too. I mean, you went through having your hip replacement, and then we're told that you need to get back into some power. So how was that journey going from, you know, your hip replacement and you're strengthening and you're getting back your range of motion? Yep. And then they say, okay, you got to add in some power.
Such a great question. So I was averse. So I had a degenerating hip for a really long time. And I just thought I had a torn labrum. I didn't know I had osteoarthritis. I can show you my bone. It's right here, guys. It's in formaldehyde, still on my desk.
Oh my gosh.
Of course you have your hip bone in a formaldehyde jar on your desk. I love that.
And you, if you could see it up close, it's covered with osteophytes, these bubbles of bone, of this degraded, molten bone. It's just decrepit. And I was living with that in my body and living relatively pain-free. But I did know, and I'll qualify all of that, I did know that if I did explosive work, except jump rope, so jump rope, you're not moving your joint very much. You're just compressing, decompressing, unless you're in bad form.
Yeah.
So I'm in very good form in my jump rope because I learned it from Brian McKenzie and Kelly Starrett. I learned very good jump rope form for those guys. But if I were to do exercises that accelerated joint movements at odd angles, like I would have done in dance for years and years and years, or that I would have enjoyed in a HIIT class, I would set myself up for later that day, I would have a tensor fascia, a lot of pain. Very, very gnarly pain in this little tiny muscle. It's a little tiny hip flexor that connects to the iliotibial tract. And that was kind of my canary in the coal mine. So I knew if I overdid rapid movements, i.e. stuff that I might encounter in HIIT, that would be the thing to set it off. So I just avoided HIIT altogether, and which was a real bummer because I knew there were so many cardiovascular effects that I was leaving on the table. And so I would occasionally go swimming if I could find a pool. But I mean, I live in Southern California and I can't find a pool. Go figure. It just wasn't, you know, we don't have a pool. And I really like the big, long Olympic swimming pools. But at the same time, oh, there's so many things that couple in with this. At the same time that my hip is degenerating, I also spark up with this autoimmune disease called cold urticaria. And so exposing myself to cold water would create a mast cell reaction throughout my body where it felt like I was being burnt alive. And I still have this mast cell activation syndrome to this day. And that's something we can talk about in another podcast, but it comorbids itself with the hypermobility, which is why I'm good friends with Andrew because we love to talk about all of our symptoms that are related to this hypermobility. But anyway, my hip, by the way, the degeneration of my hip was twofold. According to my doctor, one, I had a cam deformation, which is where the head of the femur is not a full circle. It's not a sphere. And so over time, that misshapen head grinds against the different cartilage surfaces of the joint and wears it down. And then you get these, you know, you get the degeneration. But I also had, I'm hypermobile. That was the thing he said when he did a circumduction test, when I laid down, when I finally got to see him, he took my hip and he moved my hip around in a circle and he goes, oh, well, there's your pre-existing condition right there. And it's your hypermobility. So that was fun to hear about that. And I knew that all the stretch work that I did as a yoga professional or dancer was natural for me and it felt good. And that was like, those were practices I really loved to do. They didn't seem to set off the type of hip pain that very high, you know, that high intensity would. So I avoided it. So like, I'm actually the target audience for this work. But anyway, after the surgery and I'm in physical therapy, getting to the center of your question, Dom, my physical therapist, you know, she finally hit a limit with me. She's like, look, I've done all I can do. Now you need to push yourself. Mm. Those were her words. You need to push yourself. You need to get into a HIIT class. You need to go run up a canyon. And she was telling me that I wasn't going to adapt any further. I'd reached the limits of her expertise and what we could do together. And I'm so grateful for her kicking me out of her office like that. And luckily, our algorithms, I don't know, something must have listened to me in the greater Instagram space because your stuff started to populate in my feed. And I did one of your challenges. I'm going to cry. It was so outstanding. And I felt so safe and I felt so seen, even though you couldn't see me because I'm doing these videos through Instagram. And I knew that I had found a coach, a solid individual, a smart woman who could champion me through this growth phase. And look at us now.
I know.
but I you just engendered, engendered, we trust. You engendered my trust. And she was right, Luffel McCurdy, my physical therapist. And you were right. And I grew and I'm still growing because of it. So I really very, very strongly feel that, you know, there will be setbacks because you will probably have days where you quote unquote overdo it, but there are pre-recovery and recovery. And there's the reminders of the strength tests that you have in the beginning that really do give you this constancy of before, within, after type of parameters so that you really know where you should be casting yourself inside of the programming.
Yeah. And I remember too hearing from you, which I had no idea you were doing my HIIT workouts. I was like, oh my, what, Jill, you're doing my stuff? Like, I was so flattered. I remember this. But, and I remember you saying too, like, I only got through one round or I only did half of it, but I felt amazing. And I'm like, that's great. Or you saying, you know, I couldn't quite do, you know, the full extent, or I modified a lot, but I did it. And I'm like, that's everything. It doesn't matter whether you're modifying or what that looks like for your body, but you're doing that high intensity work and you're building that power, you're building that strength so that your joints can take on a new force. And that's everything. That's something that's needed, especially as we age. And I think that's something we start to fear, like, oh, I'm told I shouldn't jump. I shouldn't do, you know, and maybe it's not jumping. I don't want to keep saying jumping, but there has to be some higher, quicker velocity within your work that is building you to increase your strength and power within your muscles, tendons, and joints.
Yeah. And I guess just to call out an age difference here, I'm happy to talk about my age. I'm 51 and I had my hip replaced at age 45. So my hip replacement is now is over 5 years old, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm dating that wrong. But anyway, it's been about 5 years that I've had this hip replacement. But Jen and I are also, I think we're two fitness professionals from two different generations of the fitness world. Like, I'm a total Gen Xer, like all the way. And you're a total millennial. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. All the way. And so I think that there's a real good benefit to our viewers in also seeing this crosstalk between a sort of intergenerational love affair of this thrill of moving your body, finding new ways to work with your body, and being always in development. Like, I'm in this developmental stage now called perimenopause, whereas you're in this developmental stage called postpartum motherhood.
Yes.
Right? We are
very similar, actually.
The lack of
what
sleep.
Our hormones are going through. Very similar.
The hair loss.
Yeah.
Are you at hair loss yet?
Uh-huh.
Okay, great.
I am. I'm there.
What else is similar? The hormone roller coaster, the lack of sleep.
The estrogen drops.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's big, too, when you're breastfeeding.
Brain fog.
Yes. But I think what's important, too, is the reality that what you're doing with training isn't needing to decrease. You don't now, oh, you know, all this stuff is happening. Now I should only do yoga and Pilates, right? Yes. Which are great exercises. I love them. I taught Pilates for years. I love it. However, we need to load the body to a certain stress level, even though our body is going through different stressors. That's what's going to talk and communicate with it.
Yep. Yeah, and talking about Dr. Stacy Sims, I mean, she's the powerhouse in this topic, especially when we're discussing what happens perimenopause, postmenopause, in how our body operates slightly differently and how we need more of this high intensity training for really what's happening in every system of the body, in our musculoskeletal system, with our strength and our power, in our endocrine system with the hormonal changes, neurologically, for brain health, for coordination, everything across the board.
And the bone stresses, too.
I was about to say, our skeletal structure for bone loss, keeping a high bone density as we're aging, so many different things. And what Jen said about you, I loved what she said, where you would reach out and saying, I did one round.
Yeah.
But one round could be a perceived rate of exertion of 8 to 10 for somebody. And that's what you're looking for. You're not looking that, oh, I only did one round. You're like, I did one round and it felt intense and it felt great. And you felt like you had a teacher that was guiding you through it in a way that was attainable. And that's not an isolated DM right there. Like Jen so many of these people reaching out saying, I never thought I would jump again. I never thought I would be able to go upstairs without knee pain again. And through doing these graded progressive workouts, your body starts to convince your brain, I can do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I do remember I did go to a Tabata at a gym, and it was, I think it was like 35 minutes or 40 minutes, probably 45 minutes.
Long.
It was really long. And I remember, you might not remember, but I texted Jen to let her know that I did the whole class, and there's no way that I could have gotten there. And also I would say that a lot of the exercises I thought were pretty bananas. I mean, I'm very critical in general of group fitness classes because I'm in that space, and I'm a little bit of a, oh my gosh, I'm very exacting because I love joints. I really want them to stay healthy their whole lifetime. And I really prefer Jen's style of HIIT programming and the diversity of movements within her practices. I just think they're the best. So I'm in love with what you do, which is why I wanted to partner with you on this program. The other thing that doing fascia work does, so we named all these systems that benefit from the HIIT, you know, the fascial work you can really see as being a, not just this connective tissue that's helping force transmission through the joint regions and whatnot, but it's also a fluid system. And so you can think of the fascia work as being the greaser of all of these joints. So adding this wonderful viscosity and moltenness and fluidity into your performance of the HIIT to come, because we really do need to get the synovium moving, but every fascial tissue releases hyaluronan. So it's not just like located in the joints, but it's the differential movement between different tissues. So we're allowing better sliding and gliding within the tissues as well as the joints. And so doing the fascial work ahead of time aids with that grace of movement that you get. And then the post stuff, and it's so important to talk about what the recovery work does, is it puts you in touch with your deep feels. And it puts you in touch with deep sensing, physiological listening, also known as interoception. And so we get to come back to center and feel our feelings. And I think that that's part of the nutrition of really well-designed exercise programming, is it anchors us in us, in ourselves, and our purpose, and our point of why we're taking care of ourselves, and that we deserve to have movement medicine administered to ourselves. And so I think there's a lot of other aspects of that decompression, the downregulation that one gets. And that sets the stage also for improved nighttime sleeping, improved relaxation response. It helps with cognitive effects, the ability to focus, the ability to be present. So there are a number of other substantial things. And something that's near and dear to my heart altogether is, and it's near and dear to your heart, is the respiratory diaphragm. So this all, hopefully, the way we've structured this brings people into the importance of respiration as a factor to be included in HIIT, to not be just huffing and puffing, but that the breathing is another feature that can, you know, reveal fitness. And there's a test. We have an entire test called the Exhale test within the programming that I gleaned from Brian McKenzie, Andy Galpin, and Rob Wilson. They very generously shared their science with me, and I share the test in the program so that you can also check into yourself about, well, what is my recovery like? Maybe I'm not really getting good sleep. I don't even know that I'm getting good sleep, but I'm waking up and I'm foggy. Maybe if I just push through a workout, I'll feel better. Well, sometimes that works, but this is an objective test to look at your recovery. It's very, very simple to do. That's going to give you feedback about your sympathetic or parasympathetic thresholds, as well as your ability to control and move air. So it's really fascinating. I feature it in my book, Body by Breath, too. I just think it's an incredible test. But I think though that's a real big part of bringing HIIT into your life, is that we have to have the balance of the deep recovery as well as the intensity.
And I think understanding when you have that recovery aspect as well, that's where tissue healing takes place as well, right? And if we're going to go, like, we're not saying you're going to now start to do HIIT every day. And that's not even, we're going to have a calendar to kind of guide you to how you can set this up in your life, which I think will be also be beneficial because, and as Stacey says, like we keep coming back to these certain people because they're experts in what they've done and the research that they've done in this, right? Because she also includes this plyometric HIIT type training in her menopause programs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important to note. And I also wanted to just bring up too that she pointed out a study from 2019. It was a systematic research review on plyometrics in older adults aged 58 to 79. Who reported that plyometrics often improved muscular strength, bone health, body composition, posture, and physical performance, and none of the studies reported increased injuries or adverse effects for plyometric trainings amongst participants. And so the researchers concluded plyometric training is a feasible and safe training option with potential for improving various performance, functional, and health-related outcomes in older persons, which I think is huge. Like, to be able to see something that's saying it's only going to benefit your body, and there's nothing about this particular exercise that we're going to say is going to be more detrimental to causing injury or pain than any other unsafe
than the baseline
right, than any other kind of exercise that you're doing where you're not having the guidance that you need in order to help improve your body. And when you're getting this tissue work and this down regulation and this understanding to help prepare and relax the tissues, you're gonna have that injury prevention already built into a program that's also going to help you to understand how to move your body more efficiently. So just being able to pull it all together, I think, is something I'm so excited to see and to hear people experience, and to be able to receive the feedback from what they really are seeing when they start to implement this into their lives.
That's very encouraging. and some of the other research about the fascial work is that it's helpful for major depressive disorder. Mm. So doing the rolling helps with some of the pain problems. And I mean, the psycho-emotional pain problems that people have had, especially in isolation and post-pandemic, and, you know, the challenges with, going out again or dealing with long COVID. I think we've got a lot of different wins for people in the program.
So many.
So from mental health to long-term muscle and bone joint health to improvements.
Stack on top of the mental health, HIIT workouts, it even at short amounts of time, and it's almost irrespective of dosage, if you do high-intensity work, you absolutely supercharge your brain with BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And there are also other euphoric releases of hormones when you do high intensity work. So you roll out, you get some good hormonal release, then you do a high intensity workout, you get that BDNF to help build up and supercharge the brain along with other good hormones, and then you downregulate with a nice feel good recovery. It's like, what could feel better?
Yeah, it's really great. And I do want to say, like, this is going to be a program ideally that people add into their lives. It's not to take away from that you're doing, you know, walking training or hiking or strength training, and you'll have to figure out how to toggle it into your life. But don't dismiss HIIT as a category because you're afraid of getting injured or you've been told that HIIT's not for you because you're in your early 60s. Don't dismiss HIIT if you are afraid of trying a new level of push. And you say, well, maybe I'll just walk longer. Or maybe I'll just hike longer. No, give yourself a different stimulus. You're in good hands. You've got one of the most incredible, two of the most incredible educators, I'll include myself there, on the planet supporting you with this. And who are along for the ride. Like, this is not, this is not something I don't do. Like, I do this and it is a huge part of my lifestyle. And if anybody wants to be like, well, wow, Jill, you're looking really, you know, you've got some really good shape in your shoulders these days. I'm going to say that that is 50% because of this HIIT work. And then the other 50% is because I've laid out the foundations of my tissues incredibly, accurately because of the rolling work that I do, not just 50% HIIT. Okay. So some of it's a HIIT, some of it's the rolling, some of it is because I do practice my mobility work a lot. And also I do lift weights. So there's probably four different prongs in there, four pieces of the pie.
Which is all huge and all important. And I think, you know, continuing to understand that it all starts, we're building you up gradually. So it's not like jumping into a 40 minute Tabata type program, you know, it's we're giving you 10 minutes of preparation for your tissue, a 10 minute start for this HIIT, just to understand how to start building this into your body, the cueing, getting used to our programming, who to follow, how that is structured within your body, and then a 5 minute cool down. I mean, all of that doesn't take very long at all, especially because you and I are both moms. We both run businesses. We both don't have a whole lot of time. So we understand the ability to be able to get into movement that isn't going to take all day and isn't going to exhaust you, because a lot of people who are afraid, or they hear on the internet you shouldn't do HIIT is because your hormones are all messed up and this is just going to throw off your hormones even more. Well, no, they're probably going into a class that they're not prepared to go into, and they're doing it too often. Again, we are saying to sprinkle this into what you're already doing 1 to 2 times a week, and then start to progress from there.
Yeah, and the breath test will reveal that to you. It's like, if you, especially if you are, like you said, as a new mom, depleted, or in perimenopause, where you're like, I don't know where my energy is at any given day. I could feel like amazing when I wake up, and then within 30 minutes, I'm like, So having the breath test really shows you, well, what is the truth about my sympathetic ability? Like, what is my ability today to HIIT high intensity? And you've got to honor that. It's really important to say, I have this much in my reserve, and today I want to spend it on some HIIT, or today I want to spend it on trying to lift more, or today I want to disperse it in a long walk. So I think it's really important to value that the treasure of the amount of output that you know you can do and still remain focused for the rest of the day. And that's just something that it definitely comes with time. But I love that, you know, there are these opportunities to check in ahead of time and see. Once you learn the test, by the way, you don't have to keep watching the video to do the test. You can just do it in your bed and then you know it and you know where you want to go.
Yeah.
Between that test and the strength tests that Jen does up front to kind of understand which person you're going to be following along with, the calendar that we provide within the program to help you understand, okay, I'm new to HIIT, this is where I'm going to start, and I can build from there. Like you said, it can fit into what you're doing already, but as we've laid out with all the benefits to all the systems of the body, it really should be something that is a part of everybody's plan, everybody's plan as we move forward in life, as we go forward in life, if we're wanting to be at our optimal health. And the cool thing is, the program just went up for sale today.
Woo!
Not the day we're recording it, but the day this podcast is releasing is the first day. So it's open for sale right now. And during the next weeks of early bird sale. There's over $250 worth of bonus material that you get if you purchase in the first 2 weeks. So if you're listening to this podcast a month after it launched, I'm sorry, you missed out on early bird, but you got to get in, check out the program and how you can start to add in all of these benefits into your life.
Hit and rolling. Woo! Because you roll and
roll and hit. And one last thing, I just want to give a big shout out to Adam Dugas, who was our third wheel. So, you know, Adam had done hit, had, you know, does hit, but he had never done Jen's hit work. And the diversity of movements were something that were really important for him, for his back, mm-hmm. for his low back pelvis connection. And you can see him in real time get it. I mean, we're all getting a real sweat on, but I really appreciated that Adam, who, by the way, Adam and I used to perform together way back in the day, back when we were acting. He still is an actor. I don't anymore, but he was my performance partner and we wrote shows together. It was such a treat to be dancing on stage with him in this choreography, and to see him just, oh my gosh. To get so sweaty. It was so fun.
It was. And to see like real cueing in real time. Adam is not a trainer. He's not a fitness professional like we are. And so to be able to see, you know, taking on cues and body kind of changing as we go through, you know, I think is a really cool thing.
Like get sparked up and make connections and make realizations.
Yes.
And it's very difficult shooting fitness media. For those of you who don't know, it is an incredible amount of content shot in two short days two long days.
Yeah.
And just as a testament to Jen, coming from just all of the life work that she was up against and all the life work I was up against. I'm going to pat you on the back and pat Dom on the back for pulling through and being able to show up and be so present with such impeccable work as always.
Thank you. Yeah. That was coming off the miscarriage and I somehow powered through the highest intensity for all of those workouts, which was amazing.
Sweating and I was watching. So
yeah, lots of life always going through, but being able to come back to movement is what's always, you know, gotten me back into a better mental space, and being able to do it with someone I love and trust and respect as well is amazing. So I'm just excited for people to be able to also, you know, experience this and move through their body and see what it can do.
It is very, very healing, and it's another act of creation, and I know that there will be so many people helped by this work, and so I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful to you both for all the thoughtfulness that you put into the program design, and I can't wait for people to get to roll into hit.
It might sound silly, but I say this about cooking, I say this about musical experiences, dancing, and movement can also take, you know, into this category of art. And when you get together with a number of other people and do movement together and do exercise together, that one specific masterpiece or piece of art will never ever be created or experienced again, you know, because it was a very unique moment in time where you all got together and moved, and being able to be a part of that was great. And the fact that we have it recorded and are able to share it with so many people, it is incredible. So I know so many people are going to benefit from this. Links are in the show notes, of course, for anybody who is interested and wants to check it out. Jill, our second three-peat interviewee guest on the podcast. It's always a great time to spend some time and chat with you.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I'm just auditioning for the fourth. That's what I do. This whole time. I'm like, I got to do really good.
High marks.
So they have me on again.
High marks. Very high marks.
Thank you. Thank you, Jill. Appreciate
you. Love you too.
Love you, Jill. Bye.
Bye.
Yet another fantastic conversation with Jill Miller. And I just love this one because there were so many applicable takeaways as to why rolling and why high intensity workouts, whatever that means for your body, can be beneficial for long-term health. So if you want to go check out the Roll Into Hit program that released today, and get all of the bonus content. There's over $200 in bonus content that you get if you join the program in the next 2 weeks. Check the link down in the show notes. Also, remember, we have that discount code for Vivo Barefoot Shoes where you can get 15% off and start your barefoot journey down in the show notes as well. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.